All right, Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, and he called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here look after him that seeth me. Wherefore the well was called Beer-lahai-roi. Behold, it is because it is between Kadesh and Berib. It's talking about Hagar and what happened. We know that Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham and they had a child. And then Sarah got mad at Hagar and said, get out of here. And so we see the very instance here, the only time this name is used in connection with Hagar's flight from Sarah's persecution, when Sarah got rid of her. And we see that God seeth, El Roy. El, we know what El is. It's the prefix that defines might or strength. As El, he is the mighty one. Roy, R-O-I, is from the root implying that seeth. The combination is El Roy, the mighty one that sees. Literally, the word is the well of him that liveth and seeth me. Genesis 16, 13, and 14. Hagar was a slave. Her provision for food and shelter was through Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah said, get out of here with a baby. Imagine what she needed. Imagine what kind of care or concern or worry she had. How in the world she's going to now feed the baby? Where she's going to get her living? And look at this. The account of incident occurs Hagar, Sarah, and Abraham. God is revealed to all three in unique ways as the mighty one who sees. Let's skip the illustration here. Let's go in the next paragraph. Here in the wilderness is where Hagar discovers Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And here she proved him to be her Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. When her son was born, she called him Ishmael, for the Lord, for she learned that God is El Roy, the Lord who sees. Job declared in chapter 31 and verse 4, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? He is the God who sees. And that's so true. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 20 and verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure or whether it be right. The hearing ear in the seeing eye, God is the maker of them both. God has made the eyes, and he made the ears. And God can see, and God can see. You guys got that? Hagar, Sarah, Abraham, the Lord is there. The Lord will provide. Ishmael, the Lord who sees, he is the God who sees. There in Job, chapter number 31. And there's an illustration I'm only going to finish one lesson this week. I was hoping to finish both, but I didn't finish that. Anyways, there's an illustration there for us. Moses and the burning bush. God saw that he turned aside. Remember? God didn't want Moses to see him face to face. And so he told Moses, turn aside. So you see my backside. You know, I'll let you see my backside, the back of me. But he wanted him to turn around, and God sees that he turned around because then he proceeded. So God knows when you're peeking and when you're not peeking. So let me see here. God saw their needs, God saw their enemies, and God saw their righteousness. It's talking about Moses there. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above, looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. And there's a song about that. And let's go and just fill out the blanks here. How Hagar learned that God sees. El Roy sees every situation of your life. Whatever it may be, he sees it. He knows you're in that. He knows the circumstances around it. He knows what's going on. He's there. El Roy showed a personal interest in Hagar's situation. A personal interest. El Roy gave Hagar a word of promise. In Genesis chapter 16 and verse 10, it says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply the seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude." Number four, Elroy gave Hagar his presence. The verse 11. "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord had heard thy affliction." And so the Lord is there, hearing what she needed. Elroy understand her problem. She was with a child. In verse 11. Elroy provided for her needs. The Bible tells us that in 16:10. He'll multiply, meaning, hey, you're not going to die here. Your child's not going to die. There's going to be many of you. So there is that provision. Elroy seeks to give direction. The Word of God reminds us that He will guide us with His eye. And certainly He knows and He sees the best course. Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding." And there's other verses there in Jeremiah chapter number 10, verse 23 and 24. "We have a God who sees, and we shall be judged according to all that Elroy shall reveal, and we shall stand before Elroy as all things are revealed." And there's the two judgments there, the judgment of the great white throne and the Bema seat. You can read that in your time. Let me give you the other blanks here. Elroy seeks, to give direction. He knows and he sees. And he will be the one we're going to be judged. He's going to reveal it. And he's going to be the judge of those things that are revealed. He's going to be the one that sees those. And there's the two judgments. You can read that in your time. Elroy, the God who sees, will provide. He will protect. He will keep his promises. He will not be left alone. He will not be left without direction. Elroy will lead the way. Will you follow? Hagar received specific instructions and followed the way that Elroy had determined to be her course, although it was not an easy path and not all the promising of a future. She determined to follow the path seen by God for the life of Hagar. And we need to remember that God sees. In essence, going back to the sufficiency in our lives, we look to our Lord to find sufficiency. Not on anybody else. I'm not marrying Elizabeth so that I can be happy. And I told her, I hope to God that you're not marrying me so that you can be happy. Because we'll never find it in each other. Did you know that? You'll never find happiness in your friendship, in your relationship. No, because that is not where happiness comes from. Your relationship this way horizontally with people is a ministering life, serving one another. You get your encouragement and you get your satisfaction only from the God of heaven. Where David said, I will encourage myself in the Lord. When his people, imagine you all turn around and Pastor Cole and say, you failed us, we're going to kill you. The great leader David, the man of war, came to that point where his people says, I'm going to kill you. And you know what he did? He didn't find it in Joab, his general. He didn't come to Joab and, I need your help. He didn't go to Joab and do that. He didn't go to anybody else. He didn't go to his wife. He got many wives. He didn't do that. You know where he found it? In the Lord. So stop looking to people that make you happy. Because you'll never find it there. You'll never find it there. Your job is to make people happy. In accordance to the Word of God. I'm not saying go out there and make the lost people happy or make carnal Christians happy. You can never make them happy anyways. Or religious Christians. You can never make religious Christians happy. They're never happy with those that are having a hard time in Christian life. They're not going to be happy with those that are trying to move forward. So don't bother with them. In essence is, just seek happiness from God. He'll never fail in that department. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Not in your situation, not in your jobs, So that when those things come and fall apart, relationship changes, friendship changes, distance separates, you're not all falling apart. Because this is always right. And by the way, you can never make this right if this is not right. God sees. The Lord that seeth. He sees what's going on. Hey, I'm so glad that's not my job. Because I can't really fix what's going on with your life. I can know it until I'm blue in the face. But I can't fix it. But God sees your problem and He can fix it. That's an amazing God we serve. An amazing God we serve. He sees the problem. He sees your situation. He can fix it. And He's willing to do that. He's willing to do that. How are you doing today? How's your life? How's your relationship with people? Do you live the life as if God sees everything you're doing? Hey, by the way, and another neat thing this. You ever thought about this? God in my life, entire life, has never infringed Himself in my privacy. You ever thought of that? I've never one time think that God is on top of me. I don't know if I'm making any sense. Even though He's a God that sees, He doesn't make you feel like He's always right behind you. You know, you have some of those people when you're working the first job and they're the boss and they're always right behind you. Okay, I told you to do it this way. Why are you not doing that way? You know what I'm saying? I don't feel God doing that to me. He's got a lot of long suffering and a lot of patience. When I fail and I fail and I fail, I say something I shouldn't have said in preaching. By the way, you know what? Preachers never get really polished. We never get to know what to say at the right time. Sometimes we slip and say something we know we shouldn't have said, but we said it. God has patience with us. It's a mighty thing that God uses a human instrument like us to open up His wonderful book and expound it. What a privilege. What a privilege. And all of us Christians has that somewhat responsibility. God has given us what? The Great Commission. Whereby you, my brother and sister, can come to another individual and expound them the Word of God and tell them how to get saved. Wow. Amazing. You are God's interpreter. You are God's ambassador. I can never get over that. Ambassador gets away with a lot of stuff. Man, they can just drive through the traffic lights and different things. I'm not suggesting that you be ambassador so you can get away with that kind of stuff. But God is awesome. He sees. The other one, somebody probably have to teach this next time. Jehovah Makkeh. I think that's how you pronounce it. Makkeh. And the Lord who smites. It's kind of neat. Pastor was talking to the man yesterday about afflictions. And Jehovah Makkeh, or Makkeh, has a lot to do with what he preached about yesterday. Very awesome. And I hope the next teacher that will teach you that, you will get something out of it. And come. Come to hear the Word of God. Come to church to hear the Word of God, not to hear a man. If you came to hear a man, you're not going to get anything. But maybe a tickled ear. But come to hear the Word of God. You know, when you came and heard the Word of God, there's going to be something inside of you that's going to be unrest. Anytime I hear good preaching or good teaching, there's something inside of me that bothers me. Because I know I'm lacking in some areas of what he just said. You know what that is? Conviction. Because I have no idea what's going on in your life. I haven't been here for, 3 months? So I don't know what's going on. But Lord, maybe I was a help. And I appreciate your friendship. And I appreciate this church. I'm so thrilled to be a representative. It's nice to say, I'm Chris Barron. I'm from Faith Bible Baptist Church, Eden, New York. I love saying it. It's wonderful. I've been a member since 11 years ago. It's a neat thing. I don't think about leaving. Hey, we got problems? Oh, sure we do. And guess what? The mother churches do too. And you don't have to be there very long to find out. So, love your church. Love your pastor. Get behind the leadership. Find your happiness in the Lord. I don't know why I talked about that. Maybe he needed somebody here needed that. I might need it. And we can't find it in others. We have to find it in him. And then when we're overflowing, our cup is overrun. Guess what? Some of your happiness would just kind of sprinkle on some people. And they're going to say, I like that. They're going to hover on you. And then you can say, hey, you can get the same thing from the Lord. And they get overfilled. And guess what? They rub around people that you will never touch. They'll go to places you'll never probably have any influence in. And in essence, you have an influence because you have affected somebody. It's a ministering life. We minister to each other here on earth. In essence, serving one another. The parents, the sons and daughters, relationship, the friend to friend, husband and wife, pastor and church, members, all of that. Missionaries and prayer warriors, missionaries and financial givers, all of that. Working together. To what? Minister to others. You know, Eden, New York will be represented on the other side of the world. Think of that. Look at all the missionaries we support. You are represented in all of those fields. You have somebody in India. You have somebody in Uganda. You have somebody in Cambodia. Amazing. Well, we have part in this work of Christ. Our time is up. 15 minutes before 11 o'clock. Let's go ahead and pray.